Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, and here we are straight after the Lions Crusaders game. Immediate post-match reaction.
Yes.
By the way, nice top, Phil.
Thank you, my...
What is it?
England, it's not orange, England training vest.
And is that from the children's range? Because it's a tiny bit tight, isn't it?
Well, it's a little bit tight up top and a little bit baggy around the bottom, which is just the way I like it.
Humble brag. Right, mate, we're not going to put our hands in and pod on three because I think it's a bit passé. So here we go. Hello and welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. This is your very special post-match Lions podcast. As usual, thank you so much for following us on Acast, finding us on Twitter at... Hang on, I always get this bit wrong. Rugby Podcast, not the Rugby Podcast, at Rugby Podcast. And most importantly, thank you for leaving your reviews on iTunes. Tim will be back on Sunday, and I'm sure he'll read one out. Or if not, he'll make one up, which is just as important. So where do we stand then, Phil? We are now post-game.
Yeah.
What's your immediate reaction to this?
Overall, fairly positive. So I think we've seen a number of probably test combinations in this team.
Yep.
Probably the halfbacks. Probably the front row.
Yep.
Probably the key line-out components, as in Jamie George, George Cruis, Alan Wynne-Jones, and Toby Faletau. And certainly some of the game was very, very positive. Specifically, the simple basics. So defence was very good.
Yep.
Didn't give an attacking Crusader side an inch for most of the game. The scrum and line out were generally very positive. There was a couple of scrums where we gave away penalties, but overall the scrum was positive.
Do you feel that they turned this... do you feel that they played this game on their terms? Because that's how it feels to me. They turned the Southern Hemisphere game into a Northern Hemisphere game.
So I was thinking about this during the game, actually, and I was getting a bit frustrated because those positives I've mentioned, great. The negative was Lions completely lacked a cutting edge in attack. But then I kind of thought, well, the test series in particular, it is the most high pressure. It's almost knockout rugby. You've got to have a lot of composure. You've got to have a lot of...
The test series is.
And these games, while they're a slightly lower level, it's not much lower level, but they are preparation for that test series. So I was initially bemoaning the facts and in this game and against the Blues that the Lions didn't play much attacking rugby. Mm. But perhaps it's the sensible thing to do, to keep it simple, keep the patterns, keep it close, rely on the kicking game, rely on the good set piece, the physicality, the defence. So probably somewhere in between.
Well, let's spin this back to our last podcast when we were talking about the result between the Lions and the Blues.
Yeah.
And where I look at this is they lost against the Blues, but the performance was significantly better than the Barbarians. And I said I'd be happy for a loss against Crusaders if the performance was better. And I think undeniably they've stepped it up a gear.
They have in every aspect apart from that attack.
I don't think the attack was that bad.
Well,
they started to run some patterns early doors, which looked a little bit Saracens-esque, having the playmaker out the back. They offer nothing in the 22. That's the other thing. Not, even their catch and drive was pretty weak. But in all the other areas, I'm kind of with you here. It's
is a huge improvement. I mean, I'm actually staggered. I thought they would lose every one of the provincial games.
I know you did. And I thought you're very vocal about that
I
as well.
I thought this Crusaders game would be another 20-point loss. I'm not saying they've already had a 20-point loss. What I am saying is I thought they'd all be 20-point losses.
Yeah. No, for me, they did some good patterns in attack. I mean, the key measure for attack is how many tries did you score?
Mm.
And they did make some good clean breaks and then failed to finish them off. The standard drop ball, which wasn't especially Standard's fault, but it was an Anthony Watson break. He gave the ball too early to Sexton, who was 10 yards behind him. Sexton cuts in, offers it up to CJ. Knock on and chance blown. But there was a few like that.
Now, do you know who the real loser was today? Not the hacker. Actually, one of the better hackers.
Okay.
So not the hacker. It is the people who spout cliches about rugby. They were the big losers today.
Okay.
So the thing which defined the Chiefs game was their huge error count.
I mean, on both sides. Yeah.
But isn't the thing that we go around saying, oh, New Zealand, amazing skills, don't make errors. Oh, they always, you know, play, you know, heads up. From the age of 4.5, they've got not one rugby ball, but two rugby balls in their hands.
at all times.
At all times, you know, in maths and, you know, everything. Some of the basic skills were woeful. I mean, they were really, really poor.
Yeah. And if you watch Crusaders this season, they have been the best team in Super Rugby. They've been brilliant. And some of their attacking play, but also some of the close games that they've closed out against the Chiefs, against the Highlanders, against the Canes. But today was like a different team, and you try and think, why is what is that a function of? Two things: the weather was awful.
Yeah, but that should only in New Zealand all the time.
I mean, that should only be the weather was awful. That should only be part of it.
It's like Anglesey if it has moved north by, you know, a few hundred miles.
So that is a contributing factor, but it's not significant. I think then you have to say, well, what's the difference between that defence they were facing and most Super Rugby defences?
I think you're on something.
And that is the biggest component of that. And that is a real positive. That's probably one of the biggest positives the Lions can take out of this, was that physical, suffocating, almost Saracens-esque defence that didn't give the Crusaders much chance to play the rugby they wanted.
Right, Phil, I'm going to go from this from a slightly different angle now. How hard do you think this game was to win for the Crusaders psychologically? And let me just expand on that point a bit. You say that they've won a lot of close games against the Highlanders, against the Hurricanes, in fact, against everyone because they're unbeaten, right?
Yeah, they've won some big by some big scores against some of the weaker teams, but against the New Zealand teams in those close games, they've come out on top every time this season.
So if you're playing and you're the Crusaders and you can basically score at will. Both teams can score at will, but you know you can score a little bit more than they can. And that's basically what has happened a lot of the time. How demoralising must it be if you don't feel you can score?
So, yeah, I think that is a very, very good point. I think there's one point in the game that was a real reflection of that, was when 2 minutes to go on the clock in the first half, they get a penalty directly in front of the sticks, and it was 9-3.
Yeah.
And almost every team in every game would take the 3 points in that situation. I can't think, other than a Barbarians game, I can't think of a single situation, be it a dead rubber or a Champions Cup final, where the team would kick for the corner. But Crusaders kicked for the corner, and it felt like it was because they were frustrated because they hadn't had an opportunity to score a try up until that point, and that's what they do. They score tries.
I wonder if they just considered, or they just thought, hey, these chances come really easily for us most of the time.
Yeah.
And then they didn't really get another chance after that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. From Crusaders' point of view, I don't know if they underperformed, if they overestimated themselves, or if the Lions just suffocated them. But ultimately, I don't actually think it was...
No, it wasn't.
I'm going to put to bed this cliche of, oh, look at the skills. I mean, maybe they do have great skills if they're under no pressure.
No defensive pressure.
Yeah.
In perfect conditions. Yeah. Well, not even in... Yeah, I think it is more the pressure.
Now, another really interesting aspect of this game was the quality of the Crusaders' pack.
Yeah.
Front five in particular were tremendous.
Yeah.
Or are tremendous. They weren't tremendous in this game, but they are tremendous players. Facing up against the Lions, it felt to me like a non-traditional forward battle. So,
okay.
Whereas, you know, you think about a Premiership game, you've got that grind, you know, of like one-up rugby, and you know, that's more traditional. This felt like, tell me how this felt. This felt like two rugby league packs going at it.
I'm the opposite. I think there's more of that traditional grind. The problem was, both team made a lot of enforced errors. So they were trying, because neither pack tried to do anything creative or athletic or spectacular. They were trying to do those simple things, mm-hmm. but as we've said, a combination, less of the weather, more of the physicality and the situation, meant that they didn't string those phases together.
Yeah, and I think that really messed them up.
Yeah. Because
they didn't really have, I mean, once you cut them off at source, they didn't have any answer about what to do with their backs.
Yeah.
But their backs offered nothing.
Yeah, very little. They made a couple of good breaks, but not many.
So, if the Crusaders have, I don't know, what was it, four World Cup winners, and they've got a front five that could be All Blacks.
Yeah, that is international calibre front five, no matter which way you slice it.
Do you think, then, it is a reasonable assumption to say you can beat the All Blacks playing the way that the Lions did today, using that sort of strategy?
So, that is where I'm at.
And how I think, All Blacky are the Crusaders?
I think, so they are pretty All Blacky, and they have got international quality right throughout. And I think that's where Gatland is.
Yeah.
I think he's realised the only way he's going to do it is effectively playing that simple style that they did today. You get the dominance of the set piece that allows you the territory, and it allows you to eke out points like they did today.
Yeah.
It's not pretty, but...
It is, it's beautiful.
If you win games, that is pretty.
Yeah. Let's flip over. We've spent a lot of time talking about Crusaders, which is weird because I know nothing about them really. so let's flip over to the Lions. Although I've just criticised the backs for the Crusaders not doing much, we didn't really see much from the Lions backs. Bente aside. So actually, let's talk about this. Who was good?
Okay, back line. I thought Teo and Williams did well.
Yep.
Murray and Farrell were interesting. They had some brilliant touches, mostly with the boot. The big combination, contribution from those two was mostly with the boot. I don't think they had brilliant games, either of them, with the hands. And it felt like they were always half a yard ahead or half a yard behind, or certainly the combination of those ball handlers and the runners. The pass was half a yard ahead or half a yard behind.
Yeah.
And that it doesn't help. In the pack, anyone jump out from you?
In the pack, Falatau again was just super. I think he's massively playing his way into a starting berth, which it would be 8 or 6. I mean, I suspect it's going to be 8.
It'll be 8. I think he would have been the starting 6, or should have been the starting 6 if Billy was around. Yeah. But I think he's definitely starting 8.
Now, just to back up your point, there's a lot of anecdotal evidence coming through the Facebook live stream. Hello again, Facebook live, who are hugely in support of your views regarding Tail. So, playing very well. Why is he good enough for the Lions 12, but not good enough for England 12?
Gatland wants something slightly different to Eddie Jones.
Right.
I think it's that simple. Eddie Jones wants two ball players, two kickers. Gatland wants a big physical ball carrying 12.
Tell you what, I mean, yes, he is big, he is physical. He's not massively big and physical, is he? He's not Jamie Roberts big and physical.
I'd say he's not quite as big as Jamie Roberts, as in he's not 6'4 and 18 stone.
Yeah.
He's pretty physical.
He's pretty physical. He's not Jamie Roberts physical. He's not the morning Nadola physical, or.
He's not 20 stones.
Yes.
But Jamie Roberts isn't Nemanja Nadolo physical. But I would say...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
So, there's physicality, and then there's physicality for physicality's sake.
Yeah.
And then there's effectiveness. So, Jamie Roberts has probably... certainly recently ended up on the physicality for physicality's sake side, which is why he averages 3 yards per carry.
Yeah.
Whereas Ben Teo combines the physicality, or certainly last couple of games, he's combined the physicality with the effectiveness. And that's better than just out-and-out physicality.
Yeah, I think he's spot on. I think he's also shown us he's such a good player because... you know, he does add that bit of bosh, but his feet are so good.
Yeah.
There's one small thing. I've not really seen him have much of an effort, have many efforts distributing the ball particularly effectively.
Question then, how much of that is down to Ben Teo's limitations and how much of it is down to purely to the game plan is not to use him as a distributor?
Yeah, get over the damn gain line.
Yeah, put a bit of feet, leg drive, make the yards.
That could well be the case. I love the pairing with him and Davis. I think
Davis
is looking class, even though he went off early.
Yeah,
for the most accomplished 13.
I would agree with that. It was disappointing to see him go off early for the HIA, and then obviously not come back on subsequently because that you want. It does feel like they're in the driving seat for the test positions at the moment, and you want your combinations playing together when you get the chance.
Now I'm going to say something stupid, but it's never stopped me before. When you're picking a side, especially the Lions, it does feel like they've gone for names rather than people to do an actual job. So let me just clarify what I mean now. If your game is going to be box kicking, sure, by all means start Connor Murray. He didn't have his best game today, but he was effective enough.
And his box kicking was, some of his kicks were superb. Yeah.
Why not take your third scrum half as someone like Wigglesworth? Because if that's your game, who better to execute that game plan? Who would do better than Wigglesworth?
Probably no one. I would say that Laidlaw...
has not got that box kicking game.
He is very good at that box kicking game. Is he? If he's as good as Wigglesworth...
No one is.
No, he's not. He's definitely not as good as Wigglesworth, but he is very good. He does do that kicking controlling game very well.
And now here's one to really confuse you. What does Anthony Watson do which is substantially better than Rocco Degouni?
So that break when he slowed down, passed the ball 20 yards, drifted to get the defenders across, then passed the ball 20 yards back to Sexton, Rocco Degouni would have finished that off.
Okay.
I have no doubt.
Yeah.
So that's something Rocco Degouni does better.
What does Watson do better than Rocco Degouni? Because he doesn't seem to play fullback particularly competently.
I think he will be a great fullback.
But
I think he isn't.
For like 3 years.
He isn't now. Yeah.
And when did he first pop on the scene? World Cup.
Just yeah, a bit. Yeah, before.
I'm saying that, yeah, this guy's going to be the best fullback in the world, and it just hasn't happened.
No.
His pace gets him out of a lot of danger.
Yeah.
So, you know, but like one of the balls he let bounce today was criminal.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it is actually criminal in the eyes of the legal justice system. But metaphorically, it was awful.
With that said, though, so I'm a huge Rocco Degouni fan. And I can't believe he's not even on the England tour at the moment as one of the best four wingers in England. Or, well, if you take Noel Daly and Watson out of the equation, one of the best seven wingers in England.
Yep.
What? But when if you just look at the Lions squad in isolation, I'd say that Watson is probably the most attacking, best at attacking if he gets some space, if he gets time
I think of
all those wingers, because you've got... So George North is not playing well at all.
Yes, let's talk about George North.
Well, the other wingers, Noel is great, some brilliant things, and is the best worker around. Daly has been brilliant. Seymour is very good, but None of those are potentially as explosive or dangerous as Watson. But then Watson's probably not quite as good as Rucker Dagooney in that attacking situation.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm glad you brought up North.
Yeah.
Did pretty much nothing today.
He did a lot of kick chasing. Well, no, he did some kick chasing.
Yeah, he did some kick chasing.
But that was my overriding memory of his involvement today.
I'm confused about this. I understand if you use North because you want to get him in space and do what he's good at. Now, he does play on a team, Northampton, that don't do that.
Yeah.
Wales aren't particularly good at doing that.
Yep.
I can't see Gatland building his Lions squad to do that. And Rob Howley is the attack coach. So, all things combined, it looks unlikely that George North is going to be a good version of George North. But who knows? He's incredibly talented. Maybe he can make it work. If you're looking for a kick chaser and that is your game plan, why not Noel? Because, as you pointed out, he works.
He works so hard. Noel, Seymour, Daly.
Yeah.
If you're going to play like, and Liam Williams obviously is
well,
very
Liam
good at
Williams
that.
Liam Williams definitely is suited to that game.
Yeah.
Noel is suited to that game.
Yeah.
I tell you who else is suited to that game. Is Dan Bicker. Dan Bicker is world class at kick and catch.
Yeah, yeah.
He genuinely is.
Yeah.
I'm not saying pick him, but if you really want to kick and chase, there is nobody better.
Yeah, yeah.
Throwing up high ball.
And George North, the frustrating thing for me is in this kind of. So we've identified that the Lions played a particular way. They tried to grind it out, albeit they weren't always particularly effective because they turned the ball over after five phases half the time. But George North, there's no point just having him kick chasing or standing on the wing if you're playing that kind of game.
Zero.
Bring him inside the 10, outside the 10, inside the 12. Have him taking some weight off the forwards because he's as big as half of those forwards.
I mean, they didn't seem to have a contingency for that, did they?
No.
They didn't seem to have any platform for those wingers to get involved. George North is very good. I mean, Liam Williams is actually very good at looking for gaps and coming off his wing and working. But neither of them did that. That, in fairness, could be down to the fact that this is just a new team.
Yeah, but... Yeah, and Jack Noel... So Jack Noel is normally brilliant at doing that.
Mm.
He did not do it particularly effective on Wednesday, which is the normal thing that stands out for Jack Noel is his work rate and getting into those positions, looking for the work and taking those offloads or those inside balls. But George Noel to be effective in this kind of game, which we can only expect the test match will be this kind of game, he has to go looking for work and he's not doing it.
Right, let's wrap this up. Two final questions for you. Go with the first one. What do the Lions have to improve on for next game? What would be progress for you?
Fewer errors. So keep your scrum line out defence. Tick, tick, tick.
Yep.
Happy with all of that. Fewer errors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a consequence of that, we'll start to see a bit more attacking because the more phases you can string together, the more gaps there will be in the opposition defence. But I'll hold off on the more attacking for now, just fewer errors.
Okay, I can agree with that. Fewer errors is obviously going to be critical for anyone. More attacking shape. And just, generally just a little 5% better hit here and there, a little bit more on the set piece. They're rounding into a nice team, far, far better and far faster than I thought. I thought this would be the last ever Lions tour because they'd get beaten so badly. So, what do I know? Who has played themselves into a potential starting role? Who are the ones who've really put their hands up?
So, Faletau definitely.
Yep. He's looking like a Lions captain. I mean, like, if you were to do it again and look purely at performance,
yeah,
that guy is good.
Yeah. I don't think, I've never seen the motivational speaking type thing, the leadership type role, other than you lead by example in your performances.
So I don't think you even think Sam Warburton's a particularly motivational leadership type speaker. He's a doer.
He is a good speaker when you see him at press conferences. Mm. But then I've never seen Faletau in that role. So I'm only saying I've not seen it because I've never seen him attempt it. So Faletau, probably Jamie George and Mako Vunipola.
Jamie George, 100%. Mako?
I think he worked so hard today.
Yeah, he did.
He was not
dominant.
Always...
I mean,
no.
Good enough, but not dominant. Not enough to say, yeah, you're definitely the guy.
Yeah.
You're most likely the guy. Because if...
Yeah.
The thing is with Mako, he has to work hard, undoubtedly, but he has to do a little bit more than work hard. He's got to get over the gain line. He's got to impact in his tackles. And the reason he's got to do that is because his replacement in Mahler can work harder. So if you're just going to go for an out-and-out work rate battle, Mahler's going to beat you. If you're going to go a load of work rate, which he's already got,
and
but then get those extra bits.
Dominant carries and the handling, which is something that Vunipola can do. We didn't see any of it today, but he can do.
So he's got to have all that, plus he's got to have more, because I don't think many people can beat Mahler in just an out-and-out work rate battle.
Yeah.
Not nailed on, more than likely, but not nailed on. I think George is looking great. I think Falazar's looking great. I think too early to tell the fly halves. That's it. Yeah, just two.
Yeah, and then Ben Teal is probably currently in the driving seat, but I'm certain that Henshaw will have something to say about that.
Hmm.
Just to flip that slightly, is there anyone who started that game? Because this is probably the closest we've seen to the test team. Is there anyone that started that game that you don't think will be anywhere near the test team?
Good question. Omani was ineffective.
He was.
Sean O'Brien was ineffective.
Yeah.
So those two, I mean, obviously Sam Warburton's going to come in, so
one of them's out.
Going to go.
Yeah.
So one of those two is definitely not going to be in. That's just, you know, that's just logical deduction.
Yeah. But
they also didn't play particularly well.
Yeah, they've not, neither of them, because if you're going to get rid of one of them, neither of them has really kind of stood up to be, I'm your man.
In terms of backs, I think North is slowly fading away.
So I'm with you on North. Stuart Hogg. So obviously he went. He went off. Watson came on, which is one of the most unlucky injuries. But we don't judge intent.
No.
We judge actions.
Yeah.
So
off, go. Should be gone. Reckless. Reckless.
It definitely was reckless. Definitely reckless. So Hogg, he didn't play well in the first game. He looks a little out of shape to me. Albeit going into the tour, I think everyone thought he was the nailed on 15.
Yeah. Hogg is having a tour reminiscent of Ian Bolshaw. I can't remember which tour.
The 2001.
Now was that the Australia
tour? That's Australia tour, yeah.
That was like, so after they win the World Cup. But
in 2005 was that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ian Bolshaw just had this horrible tour where just nothing really worked for him. And I'm wondering if this is going to be the story of Hogg. So he had that terrible game, then he kind of gets back into a little bit of form, and then his mate elbows him in the face. And I just, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how it all kind of... I'm not looking forward to seeing how it unravels.
I very much hope he picks back his form in a couple of games' time. And
so do I.
Because Hogg, on form, is one of the best in the world. He's a brilliant attacking fullback.
Completely agree. So, let's wrap it up there. So, if you want to join in on the conversation, we are at Rugby Podcast. Follow us on Acast. Also, if you want to actually see us do this, you want to see Phil's nice, tight children's top. pre-gym, I assume.
It is pre-gym, yeah.
Find us on Facebook and follow the Facebook Live feed. Next time you'll hear us is on Monday, or unless you're listening to this on Monday, which you've got two, maybe you're listening to this on Tuesday. Who knows? Mm. But we are back on Sunday with our regular podcast. We'll be talking about England. We'll be talking about Scotland playing this weekend.
Scotland, Italy, Australia beat Fiji this morning. Japan beat Romania this morning. Yeah. And there's a whole host, like France, South Africa, a whole host of other things to talk about, plus the usual transfer news, speculation, and games.
Excellent. That will be out Monday. So until then, let the boys play. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics, all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.